Welcome to Women in WP, a bi-monthly podcast about women who blog, design, develop, and more in the WordPress community.
Welcome to Women in WP. I'm Angela Bowman.
I'm Amy Masson.
I'm Tracy Apps.
Our guest today is Anissa Ferreira. Anissa is a designer and front-end developer who creates websites, systems, themes, and plugins for small and big companies in Brazil and in the world. Welcome, Anissa.
Hi. Nice to meet you guys.
You too.
I'm so happy to have you. We are so happy to have you on the episode, a full episode. You did make a guest appearance on our WordCamp Europe episode, so anyone who's listening might want to check her out on episode number 10. We'd like to start off each session by asking our guests to tell us about their journey into WordPress. So how did you get started?
Well, I told the short version to Tracy in the other episode. So here comes a more complete version of it. So I started playing with WordPress at least maybe 2007. And I was trying to create a personal website, a portfolio for me. And I thought, okay, WordPress will do. But when I met a blogger from Google, I preferred it because I could customize my HTML and my CSS, which I was learning at the time. And then I let WordPress down and started working with Blogspot. And then after a few years, when we started our company, me and my boyfriend, we are business partners too. So we started thinking about our own website, and I remembered WordPress because I thought it was a more corporative solution maybe at the time. And we remembered it and started using it for our website. And we thought, well, this might be a good tool to work with our clients. And that at the time we were exclusively graphic designers. And we were trying to do something for the web. And WordPress was really great because the community helped us a lot to build our own website. And when we had to build websites for our clients, we already had a great idea of what to do and what to look for.
I love how you said the community really helped you get moving and learn what you needed to learn. Can you tell us more about the WordPress community in Brazil?
Yes, the community here is great. In São Paulo, the city where I live, is the biggest city in Brazil, the largest city in Brazil. And we have a very active community. We have WordCamps since 2012, and we have meetups, monthly meetups. We have lots of groups in the internet, like Facebook groups, and the forum is very active. We don't have any unanswered questions in the forum. So in the other cities around, we have also great communities. We have some in other cities in the state of São Paulo, some in the south region of Brazil, some in the northeast region of Brazil, and all the communities are working to maintain this WordPress community really rolling, because as I said the other day, the community is the main source of knowledge for WordPress. You know, we don't really have like schools. We do have lots of schools, but the community still is the main source of knowledge here.
One thing that I also in Milwaukee, that was one of the things I taught in college, and I taught the web 2, and there was no Web 3, you know. So it was, and there, I asked, I was like, well, what do you all want to learn? And we're like, WordPress. They were WordPress, and because no one, there was no WordPress courses in college. So I was like, okay, well, we can do this, because you're absolutely right. Like, I don't know of a lot of places, like, at least, you know, like traditional universities and such that have a, like, a WordPress course. I'd love to know if there was and how they teach it, because that is something I'd be very interested to see. But yeah, the community is really crucial in that.
Yes, here we have some schools and colleges that teach WordPress, but there is also some teachers and people that still say that WordPress is not really a professional tool, you know, it's not a professional platform. Or some people are, oh, it's everything pre-made, you don't have to do anything, so that's bad. So that happens here too. And we try to educate these people, especially the business people, because, well, they are the ones making decisions, you know. And when you say, oh, WordPress is secure, is professional, we try to clean the image of the software.
I would say that people that are saying that it's not professional or it's not secure or whatever are people that have never used it or haven't spent any time in the community to learn all the things there is to learn, because it's not, you know, you just comes out of a box and it works great.
Yes, and we try to inform people, you know, like, oh, it's not, the tool is secure. People that do not update their plugins, they're making the website not secure, insecure. So you have to educate those people, because otherwise the market will, you know, just collapse.
Well, and one of the big things is that people say that WordPress is not secure, because I've heard that a lot as well. And I'm like, it depends on who's programming it. Like, that's really, it can be as secure. I've seen it used for government organizations, which it has to have that security. Healthcare. So there is the ability to do it. It just requires the know-how on being able to do that. You said you both started out with as designers. Is that correct? So
yes.
How was going from graphic design and learning, like, how to do this crazy thing at this called the internet?
Well, it was something that I always was interested, you know, since I was like 13. I made my first website at like 14. My neighbor paid me like 60 reais. It was something like $30. And she was very happy with all pink website with gifts and colors and everything. So when I created this, I was like, oh, mind blow. Oh my God, I'm gonna do this for a living. And I was like, kind of joking when I said that, but well, it's reality now. And I always liked HTML and CSS. And then when I started studying graphic design, I kind of put it aside. And when I started working in my own company that I could really choose the direction I would follow, then I could see really clear in my way that I had to work with this. And it was like the market, what the marketing was asking for, what I could do best, and it was awesome. And that's why now I say that I am half designer and half coder.
Yeah, I remember you saying that you were 50-50. And yeah, I can relate on that. I really love that. What is your, do you have a favorite part of the design and creation process, or is it, does it depend on the project?
I really like planning, like thinking about what will the pages be like, a little of the UX user experience process, and I am enjoying now really the interface part of it, because I found Figma, which is a free software, and I am really loving it. So I'm really enjoying recreating the interface on Figma. And that was a change for me, because I used to struggle a little because of the softwares. And now I think I'm enjoying more of it.
So what's the name of the software again?
Figma.
Figma?
Yes.
How do you spell it?
It's Figma.
Okay, I haven't heard of that before.
I think I've heard of it before, but I don't remember where. So I want to check that out too, because that sounds really cool.
And what do you use it for? Like what would be an example of how you would use it?
Yeah, it's really similar to Sketch. So
okay,
if you're familiar with Sketch, it's very similar. It can create interface. So it's a visual editor, but it's a very focused on interface. So you can really create components and everything really easily for the web.
So, okay, I am working on a lot of interface things right now too. And I find myself always kind of like, I'm trying not to do the same things all the time, because I think there's always some better way of doing that. Like, how do you go through that process? Like, how do you try out things? How do you experiment with things? And how do you get the inspiration for your designs and the interfaces that you create?
I like to work in a way that is always improving. I am always improving. So every time I'm going to do something that I already done, like a website design or an app design, I try to take a step back before I start it and think, well, what can I do different this time to make better? And what worked that I can't keep the same. So I try to do that. And I'm always trying to find the pains of the process and find cures for those pains. So that's my process when it comes to design.
So you made your first website at age 14. And now you make websites professionally. Was there ever a period of time when you thought you wouldn't make websites, or was it just, you know, at 14 you were done?
Well, there was a period that I thought I was just going to be like a graphic designer, and I was really focused on visual identity, branding, and typography, and editorial work. And I thought everything was really like, oh my God, this is so intellectual, you know. I was really liking it. And when I started working, I started to see that, notice that everybody was doing that. And I was like, okay, maybe I have to find another thing to do that doesn't have as much competition, because as a small business, I couldn't afford it to have a competition with everyone that had access to a graphic software. So I started thinking about different things I could do. And since I already had some knowledge of HTML, but I always thought, was like, oh my God, I'm not a developer. I will never be a developer. I can't think that logically, or I don't know math. So I never thought I would be a developer. But when I started working and I started learning, I saw that, well, it's possible maybe I will be a developer someday. And when I saw I was developing, so even now I created a plugin in PHP, and oh my God, I'm just a graphic designer. So I don't consider myself a backend, but I can do some backend development too. But I really was a kind of surprise for me.
That's awesome. You know, there's a lot of controversy around, and it has been for years, about, you know, what makes a developer, and, you know, are you really a developer? You're not really a developer. And I think if you're developing websites, you're a developer. I think that's, you know, in my opinion, that is my my thought on the matter. And we can just, you know, why do we have to fight about it?
Yeah, I think the key word here is gatekeeping, maybe. And you can, you know, we have to open the gates, not keep the gates. So let's try to teach more people all the skills that are necessary to create a website, and not think about, oh, this is a, he's a developer, he's not, or whatever. We have to teach people and help them to find their main, you know, directions, and not be thinking about who is or who is not what they say they are.
That you speak about gatekeeping, and I was reading your essay on Hero Press, and I was struck by the fact that when you said you went to the 2014 WordCamp Sao Paulo, that you were the only speaker, the only female speaker. And that when you, I think, had went before, that there were no female speakers. And that's pretty interesting to me. I think that there, in the United States, has been a lot more female speakers at the WordCamps. Has that changed much? And what role have you taken in the community to help get more female speakers and women involved on that level?
Yeah, that happened in 2014. And it was the last time that happened because in 2013 was my first WordCamp as an attendee. And the next year I was in the organizing team already because I loved it so much. And I was a speaker too. And when I saw that I was the only one, I saw that everyone was not really thinking about it, you know, like, oh, let's just put men here. But it was something that we need to address. So I thought it would be great to investigate the causes of it. So we started a poll about asking the women in the community, why wouldn't they participate or attend the event or even speak? And the results were, the reasons were very variable. So there was many women who wouldn't attend because they didn't feel like, oh, I don't know anyone who will attend the event. And they were a little scared of the community, of the, you know, the ambient. So we try to show them that the WordPress events were like really amazing for women, you know, and because that's why how I felt. And I tried to be very welcoming to the women in the community, because we know that we have many women working with WordPress here. So we created a Facebook group. We started focusing on women on our communication. So we spoke directly with them. And that had some results. We still have to improve a lot because I think the last WordCamp we had like 35% women, you know, we can reach the maybe the 50 soon. And but we're working on that, and all everyone in the community knows that this is important about other kinds of diversity too, you know, like racial. We are a country that has more than half the population is black. So we have to reflect that on our WordCamp too.
I love what you're talking about just that intentionality, to be intentional and be proactive about seeing the missing, like who's not here, who's not, you know, at the table, who's not speaking on the women and the diversity. And I think that's really key. Like I speak on this a lot, and a lot of times people think, well, there's a lack of diversity, a lack of women in tech. Well, no, there's not. It's just that we need to be intentional about it. We need to ask those questions. I really love that you did a poll. That is such a great idea, because that it could very well be, it's like, oh, well, I couldn't get off of work, or I don't know anyone. Like some of those things can be addressed by, well, changing the time, or, you know, like doing the Facebook group, because now you know someone. I think that's just really, really great. I love how you're doing that. That's really awesome.
And what percentage do you think of your respondents gave reasons about, you know, family and, you know, caring for children and other responsibilities preventing them from being more involved?
I can't remember the exact number now, but I remember that was less than we expected, because we obviously thought that would be a question, you know. And I remember that we trying to investigate a little more on that, because there is also the question that women are more responsible for the house and the housework, you know, than men, and that leaves them with less time. And there was a lot of women who said that they didn't have the time to attend. So we imagine that there is some influence on that too. And we love initiatives like the word camps who have child care, and we try to do that here, but I think the people are not like prepared for a web conference who has child care yet. So we asked some people if they would go if they had child care, and they, wow, I wouldn't bring my child. So we're trying to see what we're going to do this year in WordCamp São Paulo, because this is important. You know, sometimes there is mostly the woman doesn't have to someone to leave their child with.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as much as we're striving as a community, both men and women, to be equal partners in parenting, I think even subconsciously women are taking on more of the responsibility and more of the role. And even in cases of caring for elderly parents, the women take on the role of caring for parents, but not just their parents, they take on the role of caring for their spouse's parents as well. And that adds on, you know, as, you know, my kids are getting older, I'm going to be looking forward to taking care of my parents as they get older. And that's going to, I think, probably play a big role in my availability and, you know, going to things. And I don't know if that's something people are considering either.
Yeah, that's important too. We are we have this culture in Brazil, and it's very strong. You know, you have to take care of your parents. You cannot like forget your parents because of that, women, of course, take more of that responsibility. And I think we should take this in consideration too as a community. How does that affect us, you know.
Well, and I, as a mother, I could say that I probably would not be interested in childcare, because when I come to a WordCamp, it's to get away from my kids.
Yes. Yeah, I think there is this feeling here too. So it's like, well, I have one day just to think about something else.
You got to go to WordCamp Europe with the recently in Berlin. And was that your first time to go to attend a WordCamp outside of Brazil?
Yes, it was. And it was awesome. Absolutely was awesome. And I had never even left Brazil before that. So,
wow.
In 2015, I won the Kim Parcell Scholarship from the WordPress Foundation, and I was granted a trip to United States with everything covered, but I couldn't go because my visa was denied, and was denied again in 2016, and I couldn't go. So I was like, oh, I will never be able to attend an international WordCamp. So when the WordCamp was announced to be in Berlin, it was a city that I always dreamt about knowing. And I checked, and Germany doesn't ask for a visa for Brazilians. So I was like, oh, I'm going. I said to my boyfriend, well, I'm going to Berlin. It was like the same day they announced, and they said, I'm going to Berlin next year. I don't know about you, but I'm going. And he was like, of course I'm going to. I love Germany. So we planned and we went, and it was awesome. Oh, I'm missing Berlin.
Are you going to go to Portugal too? Of course you're going to go to Portugal, right?
Well, when they announced that the next city would be Porto, we Brazilians screamed like, ah! It was like, oh my God, it's like Portuguese, they speak Portuguese. It is like more affordable for us, and wine and food. What else can I ask?
I might have to consider that one next year.
Yes, please.
Are you going to try and make it to WordCamp US this year?
No, I won't, because, well, I already traveled, so we need to, like, work a little. But I'm definitely considering some year. I'm gonna try again. But, well, I'm sure it's awesome too, because, you know, Europe is the biggest, right? But US is like the second, and there is all this amazing community that there is all those people that we only hear about in the internet. So, of course, I would love to go too.
I don't think, I'm not, this is a general statement, but I think a lot of Americans, people from the US, really don't understand the struggles that of like visas getting denied and not being able to go somewhere. We take this for granted, I know for certain, because I remember like Mary Jobb had that issue. She was she was going to be speaking at WordCamp Europe, and then she got like, she literally was like right up to the day, and then all of a sudden, nope, you can't go. I'm like, that's it's just an added level of struggle, but an added level of commitment, really, to to really commit to that. That's it's frustrating, but
yes, the word is frustrating.
I was in your Hero Press interview, I was reading about also the access to maybe internet, computers, technology, like how is the Mary Jobb, of course, spoke a lot about Nigeria in that regards. Fill us in on Brazil and how accessible you feel like tech is, because WordPress talks about democratizing publishing on the web. And it's like, well, how can we democratize this if people don't have reliable internet access or things like that? So tell us about Brazil and your average, you know, teenager or young person who's interested in tech.
Well, in São Paulo, reality is a little better because we are a big city and we have internet access. Basically, if you can afford it, you can have it. And it's a little expensive compared to other countries. It's not as much as Nigeria. I heard what Mary Job talking, and I was like, wow, that's expensive. It's not that expensive. But I think nowadays people have other obstacles, you know. Most of the young people here doesn't have a computer because they don't feel they need. They only have a cell phone, you know, smartphone. So how can we teach people to create websites if they only have their cell phones? You know, that's the main challenge I think WordPress and the other platforms will be facing now. But we have schools, we have a lot of free information available here. We have a huge tech community here, so we have meetups about everything, you know, JavaScript and HTML and PHP, and we have a lot of professional level conferences and events too. So here in São Paulo we have everything we need, but in the other cities it may be a little difficult to have access to all that. So I think in general, Brazil has a lot to evolve in terms of technology access too. And the companies have to know that and work to improve that in other cities and the government. And it's an effort of the whole community.
I find that I've heard that, and I believe more and more people are going to be foregoing having computers because they have their smartphones and iPads. And like, I can't imagine building a website without my computer. And partially that's because I'm the worst phone typer in the world. I mean, every word I type is wrong. But I mean, I can't. I mean, how would my CSS would be so bad trying to write it on a phone?
My phone uncorrects all of my words for me, so it would just be a lost cause.
Yeah, I was trying to type the word food the other day, and it kept autocorrecting it to good. And I'm like, food is a word.
Yes, it is.
But that's something that we need to, I know when creating websites, I think about, you know, there are a lot of people that aren't going to have a computer, and they're not going to look at this on their computer, but I haven't actually given any thought to building the websites without a computer.
Yeah, and I think the teenagers in general, they have a lot of knowledge when it comes to social media and everything else, but not the basics, you know, like how does the internet work? Why do you need a host? Why do you need a domain or something like that? So this is not really like a generation who is have the real knowledge of the internet. They have knowledge as users, not as creators or developers. So we need to change that. We need to show them that there's these layers that they are not perceiving.
Yeah, tech could end up, I mean, our sense of what a website is and what these endpoints are that Google accesses could really change in the next decade, where what we consider as a website could, you know, cease to exist. It could just be data endpoints in these queries that do become much more modularized in a way. And and we access that data in a very different way, I think.
We just get the chip inserted into our brains or something like that, and it just downloads, right?
You just speak out loud and the voices answer you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The voices in your head. See, they're a real thing now. I mean, maybe. But I really like what you said, experts as users and not as the like creators of the internet. I remember that because, you know, I kind of went in when I was teaching college age kids. I still call them kids. They were my kids. And I was teaching them and I was like, oh, well, you all grew up with the internet. You know technology. So these basic things, like, that should come very easy to you. And like trying to get someone to print something, I don't know how do I add a printer. And I was like, oh yeah, so that's a really, you're right. It's social media and not necessarily the creating and that, because it was already created.
Yes.
A lot of it.
Yeah, I grew up with computer access, and I was lucky because nobody had this when I was growing in my neighborhood. So I had the access, but I didn't have access to internet yet, like in the 90s. So I had to research and try and break a few things and fix a few things. So this is the thing that brings you the real knowledge, you know. Like, I don't know how I got my webcam to work today, but I did. So I think this is the greatest thing about the internet. I learned everything I know by trying and experimenting, and we have to keep doing this, because otherwise we are just become users and not developers anymore.
I think the calling card of a true developer is that you've broken something trying to make something, or and that you don't know how you got it to work, but it works.
Yes, my boyfriend says that developing is create bugs and then fix the bugs you created. And then you are developing. So
totally. I saw a great meme where it had a picture of a guy on a computer and it said, my code doesn't work. I have no idea why. My code works. I have no idea why.
That's
never. Yeah.
Well, and I think that's what we do. We're people that are seeking answers and we're trying to find a solution. And I think the user isn't looking for, you know, they want the answer provided to them, and we want to be able to provide it.
Yes, exactly. And we have to, you know, just keep the eyes open and something will come up and we'll magically find that solution. Of course, it's not magic, but we have to observe, and it's not like something logical or something exact, you know. It's a process that may be different every time.
It's more of an art than a science.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Says the artist.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not an artist, so I would maybe disagree on that point, but it's been super great having you on the show today. Do you want to take a minute and tell everybody where they can find you online?
Sure. I am Anissa Ferreira on Twitter, and I have my own website, which is anissa.com.br from Brazil, and my company website, which is Aste, Aste.studio. So that's where I am.
And you can find all these links in the show notes on womeninwp.com.
Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you, guys. I loved it. So let's make the world better and all those great messages that I'm supposed to say at the end.
Yes. I feel encouraged. Let's do that.
We will toast with port wine in Porto next
year. Oh, that's sure.
Done and done.
Yes.
Thank you for listening. Interested in being on the show? Sign up on our website, womeninwp.com. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram, and join our Facebook group to have conversations with other women in WordPress.